The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Ruins, the 2016 ACCS Annual Conference, copyright 2016. You may make additional copies of this recording for use by your school, but please do not sell any copies of the recording. Learn more about classical Christian education and the ACCS at accsedu.org.
Good afternoon. This is ACCS and not SCL, so we're going to start on time. That was a joke, I know. Just kidding. Welcome to our session on walkthroughs. I don't have any slides, so you'll have to work from outline. Hopefully that will be okay, but everything that's, that I'm going to say should be on your outline, at least the main elements I'm going to talk about. So, thank you for coming this afternoon. My name is Brian Lynch. I'm the headmaster at Veritas School in Newburgh, Oregon, and I've been there since, as head of school since 2001. Actually, I was on the founding board in 1997, so I've been there forever as I was actually board chairman, and then I migrated to head of school. And one of these days, I hope to migrate to to a new position as, say, dean of students. If you may have noticed in your conference materials, we are looking for a head of school sometime in the near future. So if that's something that's interesting to you, please feel free to talk to me about that. The only issue about that is I will be sticking around for a while. So that's a little different, I know, but I will be happy to give up those things that Keith was just talking about while I work with teachers and in classrooms, because I think that's what I do best, or at least if there's anything I do well, that's what I do well. So, again, welcome. Thank you. We're going to talk about working with those teachers, doing walkthroughs, and I'll define what I mean by that, and then we'll talk about the process that I use at Veritas, working with teachers through their ongoing professional development. That's what it's all about. So let's pray together as we begin. Our Heavenly Father, we're very grateful to you for this time together. We thank you for your kindness to us. Thank you for this day. We pray you would bless this time. Help us to grow in loving and serving you in this way. And we ask that you would be glorified in it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, I couldn't help notice, actually, we had some of these young ladies on our flight coming in from Seattle. And at first, I thought, well, they must be sorority girls. I don't know why I thought that. And then they started talking about going to a conference to Atlanta. One was going to administrative. One was going to teaching. I thought, oh, they're going to the ACCS conference. That's interesting. They kind of look like ACCS administrators, but you know, what do I know? And then my wife said, no, those are sorority girls. And then we show up, and they're here. I think it must be their worst nightmare. They come to Atlanta for a sorority conference, and guess who's in the building? All their school principals, right? All their teachers are coming tomorrow. There goes the big weekend in Atlanta. But hopefully it'll be okay. So let's talk about walkthroughs a little bit. I think that our schools improve only to the degree to which our teachers become more effective in the classroom. I know we've heard some of that already, and I just want to echo that. I think the way our teachers interact, the way they teach, how they grow continually as professionals, as teachers, that really is the key. And we can do all of the things that Keith talked about and that we've heard about as heads of school or administrators, but it really comes down to those people in the classroom. That's where our schools will grow. That's where the value proposition gets carried out. That's where it gets sold. So, and that will only happen as we engage teachers in an ongoing discussion about their growth as teachers, about professional development. And so I'm here to argue for walkthroughs as one means to do that. I won't say it's the only way, but I appreciate very much what we're doing at my school. Of course I do, because I started it, but I think it's very valuable. It's, I think, a very effective way to have that ongoing relationship with teachers that we're looking for. So just really quickly, show of hands. Actually, I should make you stand up, given this, but I won't do that to you. Show of hands, how many of you use walkthroughs, what you call walkthroughs of some kind or other? Okay, good. So about half. So what I would love to do is save some time at the end, and would love to hear from some of you as well, some of the things that you're doing that work really well. After I go through my presentation, and there are things that you heard that you think, you know, that's ridiculous, I would never do that, and here's a better way, I would love to hear that kind of thing. Also, if you're interested in talking more about this, I would love to continue the conversation about walkthroughs, about how you're helping your teachers to grow. So I'm going to make the case a little bit, because I know walkthroughs perhaps can sound like progressive education or something that got snuck in from the world. And so I want to make the case for doing this kind of ongoing work with your teachers. And I think I have it in your outline. Which is more effective? One, if you had to choose, or you have to choose, one 60-minute observation per semester or six 10-minute observations. Which do you think would be more effective for helping teachers to grow as teachers? I submit that those six 10-minutes are going to, over time, with conversation, not just on their own, but with conversation, I think over time will grow that teacher and will grow your faculty in much stronger ways than the traditional way of doing a pre-observation conference and then observing and then post-observation and never see them again. I was a teacher for 20 years before becoming an administrator. I tell my students I taught that school across town, public school. But as an experienced teacher, towards the end of my career, I was rarely observed. I was left on my own. And it worked out okay, but how much better would it have been if it could have been an administrator or someone spending some time with me to help me grow as a teacher? But you have an experienced teacher who's doing fine. They've got lots of other problems to deal with, and so they would focus on that. And I see that to some degree in our schools as well, where maybe administrators are overloaded. They don't get in to see teachers regularly. Maybe they see them once a year, maybe not even that often. And I think that's a problem. I think someone in your building needs to make a commitment to see teachers regularly. It doesn't have to be the head of school. In my school, that's what it happens to be. I'm the head of school. I'm also the head of secondary, and I teach half-time, so I'm in the classroom a lot, and I get to see students a lot. It doesn't have to be that person. If you have a dean or you have some other level to do that, but someone, I believe, needs to be in the classrooms a lot. There was a recent study of 10,000 teachers that found that these teachers considered professional development, the workshop, teacher workshop training that costs taxpayers billions of dollars, largely a waste of time. And it's because of that one-time passive expert presentations, even attendance at great conferences like this one, if they're not accompanied by ongoing work, ongoing discussions, really don't impact teaching in the classroom. That traditional professional development, the general professional development doesn't really work. I mean, to some degree it does. I think that some of your teachers they're highly motivated and they read and they study. So I think we're working with a slightly different population than perhaps this study was looking at. But still, teachers do tend to be very isolated, as you know. Any of you are teachers, you don't get much chance to talk to other teachers. Perhaps they're never observed or very rarely were observed. And so that kind of general go to a conference and then go back home doesn't really pay off as well as it could. The research shows that a more managed kind of professional development, that is ongoing discussion, really, really helps teachers to grow. So that's what I'm arguing for. In a similar way, athletes don't get better by going to a conference or watching video. I mean, you pick up some things, but you don't get better as an athlete by watching. You get better or much better. You get much better by practicing with a coach. Right? You try, you fail, you get better, and there's coaching that on. So that's the model that I think we want to adopt, that of a coaching model, not just once or twice a year. So that's sort of laying, I think, the groundwork, making it clear what we're talking about and why that's important. John Maxwell writes somewhere that see what a person is doing every day, day after day, and you'll know who that person is and what he or she is becoming. See what a person is doing every day, day after day, and you'll know who that person is and what he or she is becoming. And I think conducting regular walkthroughs provide us with that necessary understanding. So that's hopefully that's it relieves some anxieties about what we're talking about and making the case, and you're interested in more. So I think traditional one-time observation can tell you what a teacher can do. And I've heard this defense of those kinds of observations. We want to know what they're capable of. And I can see some value of that early, perhaps in a teacher's career. What can they really do at their top? We want them at the top of their game, and I'm going to go in and see that. So that kind of observation will tell us what they can do. It doesn't tell us necessarily what they do every day. And that's where the growth happens, I think, is getting into classrooms every day and seeing what our teachers are up to. Again, not in a way to try to catch them. I don't mean that. But what do they actually do? How do we actually teach every day? Okay. So I want to really quickly make a distinction between kinds of walkthroughs, because you may have the idea that, or if you've read about walkthroughs, a team of administrators comes down from the central office and they make a quick run through several buildings or several classrooms. They're just in and out really quickly. And that's maybe valuable for the district office, but there's no real feedback to the teacher. It's not part of an ongoing process. So that's not what I'm talking about. It's not that kind of institutional big walkthrough and just kind of see what the factory is doing. That's not what I mean. What I mean is a process of you or someone in your building going into classrooms on a regular basis and seeing teachers and having that ongoing conversation. Okay, so what do I mean by walkthroughs? I mean these kinds, not those, these kinds that are unannounced mini observations that are conducted frequently in all classrooms. Unannounced mini observations conducted frequently over time. Some key elements are, I think, we want to focus on frequent observation over time of those behaviors that indicate and support excellent teaching and learning. We're looking for specific behaviors. We're not just going in to get a feel. It's focused. It's specific. We're looking for particular things. And they might vary depending on the day or the teacher. But I think it's important that they are focused and that they're frequent. If you look in the back of your outline, you'll see that I have a number of documents that you can look at on classicalteaching.com. It's a blog website that I have, and I've posted a number of the documents I'll be referring to on that site. So if you want, I don't think you can do it in this room. Do we have wireless? We do, but don't do it because I'm trying to talk to you. You never give the handout to the kids before you talk, right? And it's over. You're done. If you want to do that, feel free to do that. So I'll refer to some of those. But I have documents here that I use as part of the walkthrough process. So you can go look at those and copy them and do whatever you want with them if you like. If you have, and I should say this now, if you have any questions, you want to talk more about this, you can grab me afterward or today or tomorrow, whatever, if you're here. You can email me. I'd love to talk more about this. This ties in a little bit. I did a talk last year on professional development in the school, creating a culture of professional development. So this is part of that piece of working with teachers. Okay, so anyway, that's what the documents are if you're interested that I mentioned here. So focused, frequent, looking for specific behaviors. I have one document that has what I call the four foundations of effective teaching. I should call it like the four secrets of great teaching. Then you'd be at four foundations of effective. Nobody's interested in that. So I'm going to change the name to the four secrets to great teaching, and then you'll go look at it. But on my walkthrough form, I have those four areas that we're looking for: content planning and assessment, classroom management, and things like that. The form, our discussion as a staff, we're constantly having this conversation in our full faculty meetings, our secondary meetings. What is good teaching? What is excellent teaching? And so we're talking about these things on an ongoing basis. Then when I go in and do a walkthrough, I'm looking for those same things and giving feedback to the teacher. So it's part of the ongoing process. I wouldn't say seamless, but it's meant to be. That what they get from me as part of a walkthrough or as a result of a walkthrough is not something they've never seen before. We've just been talking about that in our faculty meeting or in our secondary meeting. Walkthroughs are not meant to be evaluative. This is not an evaluation or a chance to catch them or make a paper trail. You're not documenting failure, in at least as I consider walkthroughs. They're really meant to be formative or, again, part of the conversation. Now, if you need to be doing walkthroughs or observations, more formal observations, because of a need to counsel a teacher out or to help them grow. That's a different thing. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about a formative relationship, not one that's evaluative. That's a different kind of observation, I think. Again, the purpose is to facilitate ongoing discussion about teaching and learning. That's why we're there. So some of the instruments that I use, and again, you can find those on the website, a walkthrough checklist, again, has those four foundations. Sometimes I use a student activity chart. I'll just chart what the students do. I'll just make a list. Were they passive? Were they active? Were they engaged? Were they asking questions? Sometimes you pop in and they're simply working on something, and that's fine as well. But over time, you begin to develop a picture of what goes on in this classroom and in the school. If I do student activity charts for a week, and every time I go in, the students are listening to a teacher talk, then that's giving us a picture of what's happening in the school. And that's not a good picture, unless I just randomly pick those 10 minutes in all those classrooms where the teacher happened to be talking that day. Well, it's probably not the case. So what are there's another one. It's a teacher action chart as well. It's a similar kind of thing. What are the students doing, or what are the teachers doing? Sometimes I may go and track teacher movement. Right? Many of you have done this in your observations. Right? Where are the teachers doing this 10, 15, or 20 minutes? What do they do? Are they circulating? Are they parked over here? Where are they actually? And again, that begins to build a picture of what's going on in your school as a whole. And this probably isn't, well, I'll skip this one. Kinds of questions. Another chart or another feedback I will give to teachers is what kinds of questions are asked. What kind of questions they were asking? Were the students asking questions? And then just trying to give a bit of a transcript, maybe, what's actually going on in the classroom. So there's lots of different ways to do this. I guess the point I'm trying to make is many, many, many different ways to approach a walkthrough. The key thing is getting into the classrooms frequently and having that discussion. Another thing I will check is, are the learning targets posted? And that's not really a feedback, individual feedback. I may just make a quick run through the secondary. I don't do elementary, I just do secondary classes, and look to see, have they written their goal for the day on the board? That's one of the things that we've made a commitment to do, is making sure the learning target or learning goal or objective, whatever you want to call it, is clear, that the teachers have written them on their lesson plans, and have to actually share those with the students. So I ask them to write them on the board, make sure students understand what is their goal today. And of course, we've talked a lot about what is a good student objective or a good learning target. If you're not afraid of that language, call it whatever you want it to be. I may look for that. And that's the kind of feedback I would give to the faculty as a whole, say an email. I did a walkthrough yesterday or this morning, and we had 8 out of 10 learning targets posted. Great job. Or we only had 5 out of 10. Let's make sure we're sharing our learning targets with the students. And I'll get emailed back, or we'll have a conversation in the workroom or between classes. But again, it just creates that and keeps that discussion going. So that in general is what I mean by a walkthrough and what we're looking for. Maybe I can strengthen the why again just a little bit. I think walkthroughs communicate a commitment to continual improvement that I think is really important. Again, this idea of professional development needs to be ongoing. It's not just something that happens in the summer. Teachers need to grow constantly. And I know that feels like work because I'm teaching constantly. Now you want me to grow constantly? Well, those aren't two different things, are they? We want them to grow in their teaching, right? In their practice in the classroom. And that has to be an ongoing process for them. Every teacher in your school should have that mentality of growth, that growth mindset. Right? They're always always thinking they can get better and want to get better. And if you have teachers that are opposed to that, they think their job is to teach the second graders not to grow professionally, then I think that's a great opportunity to have a discussion. Well, what do we mean by growing professionally? I don't mean something extra that you have to do. This is designed to make you a better teacher for those second graders. Don't you want to be a better teacher? Well, of course they do. And if they don't, then again, maybe this is not the place for them, right? But most of them want to. They may just see professional development as something that's extra work, or it's a course or something, as opposed to being integrated in what you're doing. So looking for ways to do that continually, and I think it shows a commitment from the administration that you're willing to do that. And again, I don't think it has to be heads of school necessarily, but someone in the administration needs to make sure they're constantly in classrooms. And I think it would be good for that to be ahead of the school, but you know, my school is only 225 students, so I can do that. If you have 500 students, with everything Keith is doing, I can't imagine him also spending lots of time in the student classrooms. That'd be impossible for him. So it's really going to depend on your school setting. A second why, I think, is it enables you to see more classrooms on equal or less time. Now, again, you're not getting the 60-minute view, but you're getting 6 10-minute views. You can see many more teachers more efficiently in the same amount of time or less time. If you need to schedule longer ones, then you can do that. And I do that occasionally. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Also, I think it gives you a more realistic view of what is actually happening. I alluded to that earlier. You can go see the pre-planned lesson, and that's great, but that doesn't really, I think you walk out of there not really knowing what actually happens in these classrooms. What are our teachers really doing? And I think it's that unannounced, just drop-in, walk-through nature that helps you to do that. I also think this improves your credibility as an administrator. When you're talking with teachers or you're talking with parents, you are able to say, I've been in that classroom, say you get a parental complaint about a teacher or about the school, and you are able to say, well, I have been in many of our classrooms. I do 20 walkthroughs a quarter, and I have a pretty good idea what happens. And I don't see that, or I do, or I sympathize, or however the conversation goes. But at the very least, you have increased credibility as an administrator. And I think it gives you credibility with teachers as well. One of the things that I take seriously in my role is as the chief trainer. That's my job, is to make sure teachers are growing as teachers. I'm training teachers all the time. If I'm never in classrooms, except my own classroom, I'm never seeing them teach, I think it's much, much more difficult for me to encourage them or direct or have credibility in that training process. So particularly for those who are in charge of helping the staff, the faculty to grow, I think that person particularly needs to be in classrooms frequently. So I think it improves your credibility. I think doing walkthroughs will lessen your impact on the classroom as well. Students get used to seeing you. Teachers do as well. And I know as a teacher, no matter how, I've been teaching since, I don't know, this is my 30, how old am I? I don't know, 30, 50 years or something. I've been teaching a long time, but whenever the administrator comes in the door, I remember, it's, you know, you're nervous about it. It makes you a little bit anxious. But if I'm seeing that administrator all the time, frequently, and I'm getting feedback, and it's formative, it's not part of the evaluation process, that makes me much less anxious. I can relax, I can teach, and just do what I do, and the presence of that person in the back of the room doesn't disturb the laboratory quite as much. So the students get used to seeing you, teachers get used to it, and you're not messing with the environment when you walk in the door. The headmaster, the head of school is here. We all straighten up. And I still get some of that. I've been doing this for a long time. I'll walk into the classroom, and the high school kids will sit up, and they'll take their sweatshirts off. Like I didn't see that. You know? Oh, I didn't see you had your outerwear on. And, of course, that gives me something to talk to teachers about. Remember, because we're in modular buildings, so the kids are in and out, and we're in Oregon, so it's always rainy and cold all the time. Yeah, so don't move to Oregon. It's always cold and rainy. Stay where you are. And so they do have the outerwear on. I'll come in and I see them taking the jackets off. But so there is some of that still. But we want them to be less and less aware, even, that I can just slip in and out. I have had teachers in the past who really wanted their students to greet every visitor. And maybe some of your students, maybe your school, you do that. That's a courtesy thing. They stand and say, well, good morning, Mr. Lynch. And I'd ask them, I understand why we do that. That's a really good thing for every other visitor. But for me, I don't want that. I don't want to disrupt what you're doing. I want to come in and see it live and just slip out. So I don't, that's something for you all to consider in your school culture. Of course, it's Oregon, and so that was kind of weird anyway. Nobody did that kind of thing. But if you're in Texas, that's probably what you do. And so you have to think about whether you want them to keep doing that while you're trying to slip in and out and be unobtrusive. I just ask the teacher not to do that. I think also part of the value of this is that teachers receive more frequent and descriptive feedback by that day-to-day or more regular observations. And maybe that's obvious, but I think that's really important that feedback they're getting is not twice a year part of their evaluation file. It is part of their teaching. It's part of the discussions we're having at lunch. It's part of the discussions we're having at our faculty meetings after school. All of these things are woven together. So the teachers need that. They need feedback. They want it. Some teachers more than others. I understand that. Some teachers act like they don't want it, but they really need it. They need to grow. And some of your superstar teachers, you may think, don't need it. But many times, they're the ones that are most hungry for it. They want to grow. They want to get better. They want people with expertise to see them. And so they're eager for that as well. So don't think they're not interested. And if they're not, that might be another conversation. Why do you resist this process that we're just trying to all grow together as a faculty? It may take some time, but again, if they see it as part of your whole process as a faculty, then I think they'll buy into that. The other thing I think this allows you to do is focus on just a few items at a time in a more of a coaching relationship. Right? If you were, as an athlete, if you were coached twice a year and you performed and the coach had a list of 20 things that you needed to work on, and then we had another coaching session 4 months from now, and that's, you're trying to focus on 20 things in those 4 months, you never see it, that your coach again, that really wouldn't be very effective. But if you see the coach regularly every other week or so or more, and there's just a couple of things, there's two things to work on for these next 2 weeks, and there's two things for the next 2 weeks, you can break it down like you would for your students. You wouldn't give them an assignment with 10 things to do this period. Here's a list of 15 objectives that I have for this class period. Get busy. And you just wouldn't do that. You give them one or two things. Or if they're revising a paper, say. You don't revise everything on the paper today. You pick a couple of things and work on that, and then we'll build as we go. So I think having walkthroughs allows you to do that. You can build slowly. You can focus on a few aspects of quality at a time, and you can work through the process. Okay, let's talk about how I actually do this. And I've alluded to some of this already, of course, but just to give you a little better idea of how I work through this. And then I do want to save some time for questions, so I'll try to save about 5 to 10 minutes. I think that should be good. So again, walkthroughs are unannounced but purposeful. I have a purpose, where I'm going and why. It's unannounced, and I know that can be scary maybe at the beginning, but I think if you communicate to your people that this is not an evaluation, I'm not trying to catch you, I'm just moving around rooms, I'm going to be doing this for everybody for the next 15 years, so it's not a big deal. And so once they understand that, I think they can buy in, particularly when your feedback is about what you saw. There's some positives. Here's one thing to think about. When they see it, that doesn't show up at the end of the year in their evaluation. It really is about the conversation about teaching. Then they're going to get more buy-in. So unannounced but purposeful. So I try to spread it around. Our secondary teaching schedule that is a bit of a scramble. They don't teach the same classes the same time every day. And so I'm trying to pick times. So I see a teacher in the morning. I see this group of students in the afternoon. I see them in different classes. I'm really trying to spread around. So I'm not just Wednesdays at 10 o'clock and Thursdays at 9 a.m. and that's all I see. I really do try to spread it around my day. And I know you all have very busy schedules, so that can be difficult to do. But I think it's important to do that, to make sure you're hitting all the spots. The beginning of the day, the end of the day, those beginnings and endings are really important. Transition times, right? The beginning of the period. How do they begin the period? How do they end the lesson? Again, end of what's a Friday at 2:50, 2:45 look like? 10 minutes before the end of the day. What is Friday? What does Monday morning look like? And that gives you a much better feel for the school as a whole and then how those teachers are using that time. So spread it around. I look at lesson plans as well and look for things that look particularly interesting or things I see regularly. And so I don't have a set, like a checklist. I must do these things this in the walkthrough this year. And maybe that feels a little mushy or fuzzy or something. And you could certainly create a list like that. But I just try to mix it up. I try to see all the teachers in lots of different scenarios. I'm mining the lesson plans, conversations that we've had, maybe even phone calls from parents. You know, I'm not going to rush over to the classroom and hang up the phone and rush over and see what's going on in that 10th grade. I'm not going to do that, but I might be thinking about that situation when I go in and see that teacher the next time. So many things to think about, you know, spreading around as much as I can. And make sure that I schedule it, too, because it's very easy to say or to think, I'm going to do some walkthroughs this week. I'm committed. And then things squeeze it out. Right? There's always something coming up. So making sure it gets on my calendar. I schedule it every week. I'm going to do this many walkthroughs. My personal goal is 20 walkthroughs per quarter with feedback. 20 per quarter with feedback. And that's really not that many. You think I've got, I don't know, 10 or 12 part and full-time teachers. So I'm not, I do more than that, but my goal is 20 plus feedback. And I do some with no feedback at all, too, so that's another thing. But I schedule them, I set a goal, and I track the goal, and I make sure I try to hit that target. Yeah, that has nothing to do with what I'm, that's interesting, but it's not me. Again, sometimes I'll focus on individual elements of teaching. We've talked about that, the posting of learning targets. I'll look for, say, formative assessments one time through, making sure our teachers checking for understanding. Are they spending some time actually doing that? And, you know, we talk about it being everybody's turn all the time. It's everybody's turn all the time. And not just hands up time, right? We talk about all those things. Well, we talk about that a lot in our faculty meetings, and we practice it and review it. Do we actually carry that out? And we can see it in the lesson plans, of course. I will check it for understanding in these ways. I'm going to do these formative assessments. Do we actually do it? How do we carry those out? So frequently I'll be looking for those kinds of things. On-task behavior, teacher movement. Again, I mentioned some of these before. But the key there is that it's purposeful, that it's focused. Not just walking through to get a feel for things, although I suppose you might do that occasionally, just what it feels like. But that's not very effective for me because I don't know what it feels like. I just walk through. I have no idea. But I can look at the things, the targeted ideas that I'm actually looking for. Are you all getting distracted by that? All right. These can be very short, 5 minutes frequently, or longer, 15 or 20 minutes. It really depends on your time and what you're looking for. So a walkthrough can be anything from 5 to 20. Now, again, teachers need to understand that you understand that you just saw 5 minutes. You just saw a very brief snapshot. And I understand that that's not everything that happened in your classroom today. We'll be repeating this over time, all year long. So I'll get a good picture of what goes on in your room. So if I came into your room and it happened to be those 5 minutes where there was a little bit of chaos going on, I make sure I communicate to the teacher. I know it's just a snapshot. But if I see that next time and the time after that, then there's a pattern. Right? And walkthroughs will help you, I think, get a finger on those patterns. So that's part of the reason for doing it. So it could be short. It could be 15 or 20. Depends on what you're looking for. Depends on the teacher, subject, time of day, all of those things. And some of you probably do this. Any of you ask a student, hey, what are you doing today? You ever ask a student what they're studying? And why are you doing that? And this situation happened. Actually, a teacher was checking herself because we had talked about making the learning targets clear and all of that. And she asked a student, why are we doing this worksheet? And the student said, well, to complete the worksheet. That was the goal for the day. It was complete work. So she had to think, that's not really the goal. So if you ask a student, hey, what are you doing and why are you doing it? What you really want to hear is, well, our learning target for today is, and then they point to the board and then they show you what they're doing. And you try to do that unobtrusively, and that's not during a teacher presentation or something. But occasionally, that's a really good thing to do. And again, you communicate to the teacher, I understand that I just happened to ask that one student who came in late or was was doing something else while you explained the learning target. But just want you to know, when I asked this child, this student, they really didn't know what the learning target was. Something to think about as a teacher. So those are the kinds of things you can weave into your discussions. Again, as a whole faculty, as a secondary, and just individually also. Okay, so I think feedback, I mentioned that many times, feedback is important, and I will get feedback on almost all walkthroughs, not necessarily all, but almost all, I will get some kind of feedback, either personally or in writing in some kind of some kind. So they will expect, teachers expect feedback from me, but I don't always do it, but I think it's a good practice. If I just do a quick walkthrough, a quick check for learning targets or something, I may just give a group feedback. But typically speaking, I want to give feedback to the teachers almost as soon as I can, whether email or personally. Maybe I'll leave a note, but I think that kind of interrupts things. So I try to do it in writing or personally later. I have used emails, works fine in our building. That's great because teachers are really busy. They don't have this time to stop by my office to talk about things. Sometimes we'll talk at lunch in the workroom or between classes we'll meet, perhaps after school. I've used Google Docs to do this as well, where I have the walkthrough form in a Google Doc. You know what I'm talking about, Google Docs, right? And so I will put the form, I'll do the form on Google Docs and share it with the teacher. And the nice thing about that is we can have a conversation about it, sort of, in the comment boxes, without them having to leave their room and come out, or me go try to catch them between. And we'll frequently have a pretty good dialogue about certain items that I've identified or comments that I've made through Google Docs. So I can recommend, it's not perfect, much better to meet personally and talk and schedule a time. And if you've got lots of time in your day, that's great. That's what you should do. But I don't always have, and they don't. I mean, I have more time probably than they do. They're not able to do that. So email or, again, some kind of document sharing works great for feedback. They like getting immediate feedback. Even though we've been doing this for a long time, it still makes them a little nervous. And Mr. Lynch was here for 10 minutes, and what did he think? So I can very easily just share that, and they can get on with their day. Sometimes I'll get feedback to the faculty as a whole, so I might send an email. Again, maybe it's about learning targets, or it's about things I've noticed the last couple of weeks. It might be an email, as I said, or in our secondary meetings. We meet every other week as a secondary teaching staff, and frequently the things that we've been talking about, I'm looking for in walkthroughs, and we'll discuss those as well. Okay, I just have a couple of minutes. Really quickly, some issues that may come up. What you may ask, but wait, what about new teachers or struggling teachers? Do you never do the full, are you saying that you never do the old style observation, that's gone? This is a 21st century school. We don't do that stuff anymore. That's not what I'm saying. New teachers, absolutely. You'll want to do a pre-observation conference, do a long observation, do a post-observation conference. And you may want to do that multiple times during that first year. Absolutely. Or a teacher that maybe is struggling, you may want to do a much more focused, longer process. So, yes, absolutely. I think full observations are great. If you could do 6, 8, 10 full observations for every teacher every year, that would be great. And then you'd accomplish perhaps the same, or maybe it would be more than that. Maybe if you did once a month, if you did 10 full observations with meetings for every teacher, you could accomplish many of these same things and not have to do the shorter walkthroughs. But most people don't have that kind of time. So this gets us there. The main thing is it provides for a coaching relationship. It provides for working on certain aspects of quality over time that you all can talk about as a faculty, as teachers and administration. And it's ongoing. That's the key. How do we keep a good conversation going with so many teachers to observe? Again, I don't have as many as some of you do. You just have to work at it. You have to be intentional. You have to talk about it at lunch. You talk about it before school, after school, faculty meetings. You do it via email, documents, text, however you can. And again, I think the key is that this is part of your ongoing discussion as a school about growing as teachers. That has to be the foundation. You can't just add this to a situation where professional development is something the administrator tries to do to us a couple of times a year. If that's where it's coming from, then it's not going to work. Everybody has to buy in on growing, getting better as teachers all the time. If they are bought into that, then this can be very effective. And the discussions are not that hard. It's not that hard to make it happen because it'll happen naturally for most teachers. Some you're going to have to corner, but most of it's very natural. Okay, we have a few minutes left. Let me just, again, say if you have any questions, you want to discuss it further, please feel free to come talk to me or send me an email. Again, you can find a lot of documents around walkthroughs in the at the website if you're interested. Again, or email me. I'm interested in questions that you might have or recommendations, comments for the rest of this. Yes, sir. Right. Well, it can be evaluative depending on the teacher, but for the most part, our evaluation, we use the old ISM, the Meaningful Faculty Evaluation, the MFEs. Are you familiar with that language? MFE? Okay, I'm the only one. All right. But I know they don't call it that anymore. That's old language. But anyway, it's based on teachers establishing their own goals or working with the administrator to establish a couple of goals each year. And so the evaluation is, the end of the year evaluation is typically done based on how well they're meeting those professional goals. Now, their goals might be around some aspect of teaching in the classroom. So then the walkthrough could be folded into that. But for most teachers, their goals are going to be some things like, well, for right now, the ACCS certification is a big one for many of our teachers. Completing their ACCS teacher certification, or they're working on doing more, making sure they're integrating more formative assessment. That kind of thing might be their goal this year. And so a walkthrough might tell us something about that. But the evaluation process is more about their goals. And we meet frequently to talk about how their goals are going and what their progress is. So that's another thing that we could talk about if you want. But really, it's based on our characteristics of teaching excellence, which flows through their goals, which we meet frequently to talk about. And then we get the year-end evaluation. If there's concerns about the teaching, then we move to the longer observation process. Okay. Yeah. Thanks. Other questions or comments? Yes. Right. That's school-wide. Sorry. Yeah. So it's just secondary teachers. Yeah. Not every teacher. I should be 20 per quarter per teacher, but that's just not going to happen. No way. Good. Yeah, thank you for clarifying that. Other questions or comments? Yes, here in the middle. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, the email would say something like, if there was an issue, I'm sorry, tape person, I messed that up again. If there's an issue, then it would be, I would probably, lead with something, because there's probably something really positive going on as well, right? Yeah, I really like the way you were integrating formative assessment here. I did notice that two students in the back corner, didn't participate in this supposedly all-class formative assessment. One, and then maybe offer a suggestion. One way you could do that is to maybe break them up into small groups or whatever. So if I see something, I may offer a suggestion. I probably am not going to say, and the next time I come through, make sure you fix that. Right? I probably wouldn't do that. If it's to that level where I have to say that kind of thing, then we don't have walkthroughs. We have, a plan of assistance or, right, it's a different kind of thing. But I'm going to try to couch it in the things I saw that were good, that were working really well. If there's a suggestion or two I could make. And I usually will make it in terms of a suggestion based on all the conversation we've already had as a faculty about what are the characteristics of teaching. What is good teaching? This is what I saw. Many times that's all you really need to do. This is what I observed. Right, if you could just record everything you observed, and you've had these conversations, teachers will look at that and they'll say, wow, that's not what I meant to happen, right? Yeah, good. Yes. You had a question? Yes. Yeah. That's a great. No, I've never done that. Maybe I should do that. But usually I'll just go in and find a desk if I can find one, or just stand in the back, or some place where I can be. I try to be as unobtrusive as I can, get out of the way, but I don't try to rearrange the furniture. Yeah. Please. Yeah, that would be great. That's a great another element of this. This could be done certainly by other teachers. Teachers doing walkthroughs for each other. We have encouraged that. There's been some of that, but somehow you've got to figure out how to schedule that, make people do it, because if they're going to go observe, it either takes prep time or it takes class time they have to get a substitute for, right? You know all the issues there. So, yes, I would say this would be fantastic if it were teachers or lead teachers or all teachers doing this for each other and meeting regularly. And yes, if you can make that happen, that would be great. Yes, sir. Yes. Since I'm using Google Docs for almost all these, then I have those in a little virtual file. If it's paper, I'll give them the original. I'll keep a copy as well. Yeah, and it could be something that comes up in, because we meet regularly to talk about their goals for the year. So it could be something we talk about at that meeting. Remember, I came in those three times. Here's what I saw. So it could be part of that discussion. Certainly be part of our secondary meetings. I've observed 15 classes in the last 2 weeks, and here's some things I've seen. Yeah, so it's a good idea to keep those. Now, again, I try to be really careful of not keeping those in a sense where they perceive it's a paper trail against them. This is not evaluative, trying to catch them out. So it's not a paper trail. It's just assisting our discussion. And, they may take some time, depending on your situation, to build up trust so they know that when you were there, it's to talk about teaching, not to, again, make a paper trail that you can use against them in April when it's contract time or something. Yeah, good question. But certainly Google Docs, emails, all those are, I keep track of all that. Other questions or comments? Anyone? Well, if you do have any questions, please feel free to talk to me. You can send me an email. You can go to that website and get any of that documents that you're interested in. And thank you for coming late this afternoon, for your attention. Thank you.